welcome to Ready, Set, Write, where we help writers win the publishing race. My name is Randy Lindsay, and with me here today is...
Adrienne Quintana.
Jeanette Rollison.
Lisa Mangum.
And Brock Boer.
So, yes, we are so super happy to have Lisa here today, because she's like a
combination... Rock star.
Rock star superhero. I was going to combine the two of
them. Oh, even better.
You beat me to it. Okay. So she's like a combination of that in the writing industry, and... Lisa, tell us about yourself.
Well, so does that mean I'm either a rock hero or a superstar?
Can I be both?
A super rock? I will be a super rock
writing
star.
Super rock writing star.
That's great. I'm Lisa Mangum. I'm managing editor of Shadow Mountain Publishing. I've been in publishing since 1997, so this is my 20-year anniversary, which is pretty exciting. Thank you. I'm also the author of four award-winning young adult romance novels. I've also written some short fiction and edited some anthologies. I come to writing conferences all the time. I love to help people with their critiques and their chapters and work with books. Words are my life. And weekends, I'm obsessed with Supernatural.
Mm-hmm. And she's nice.
Extremely nice.
Thank you,
and
we can
all attest to it. So on the panel, those of us on the panel, other than Lisa, how many of you have been rejected by Lisa? I have been rejected by Lisa.
Not yet, but I'm hoping for this year.
Randy?
I'm not sure if it was Lisa specifically who rejected me. Oh. Shadow Mountain rejected me.
Then it was probably me.
So Lisa, her name was on the letter. I got it. I kept it because it was a very complimentary rejection, and she encouraged me, and I kept going. So
okay, you
excellent.
Know what? I remember now. They said... Lisa told me to reject.
That could also be true. Easy math I one time figured out. I think I've sent 30,000 rejection letters in my career, which is the size of a small town, right?
Right.
That's like the town I grew up in.
See?
But yet, here we sit calling you a super writing rock star because you have done it in a way that makes people feel valued still. And that's a real credit to you.
Well, and rejection isn't about... saying your book is bad. Mm-hmm. Usually rejection is your book is not right for us, mm-hmm. or your book isn't ready for publication. There's things that you can still do to improve. And so it's never saying you're a bad person or you're a bad writer. It's saying you have room to improve or there are things that you can do to be better. And that puts the power back in your hands because you can do something about your craft. You can do something to learn more. You can do something to improve. And then maybe next time you submit to the right publishing house, to the right agent, to the right editor, and they'll love your book. And then you don't get rejected. Right. You get published.
So 20 years, what has been your favorite book that you have produced?
Oh, man. I will say one of my happiest moments was when I found Ali Condy in the slush pile. Mm-hmm. Because I was the only person... I found out later, we had talked about it, she had sent the first three chapters of her first book called Yearbook to a whole bunch of publishing houses, and I was the only person who said, I want to see more.
Wow.
And I was the only person who said yes, and so I wrote her back and I said, send me the whole thing, which she did, and I said, this is great, cut out half your characters, rewrite it, and send it back to me, and she did, and I said, this is better, cut out another half of your characters and rewrite it and send it back to me, and she did, and it was even better, and I said, this is the book, I want to publish this book, and she was one of the first ones that I really, like, worked on start to finish. I found her in the slush pile, I got to be her editor, we got to be friends, and I edited five books from her before she wrote Matched, and then she sent me Matched, and I said, you don't even know what you have. I read it in 2 days. And I'm like, this book is amazing. And we could publish it, sure. But you should take this to a bigger stage. And so I technically rejected it. But I did it because I knew this was going to be her breakout book. And she felt it too. And that was, she said, I think this is going to be the one that gets me an agent. I think this is the one that's going to get me a big national publisher. I think this is going to be the book. And it was. And I was so proud to see her career and her growth. And we've remained really good friends ever since. And seeing that from brand new slush pile writer who just was hoping maybe somebody would like a couple of her chapters all the way to where she is now has been really fun to watch that journey.
Okay, so I have to ask, what did your boss think about that? I mean, you
know. He was totally fine with it
because
I'm like,
because you're in the business to make money.
Yes, and I'm like, Chris, this is amazing. We have to say no to this for all of these other reasons. And he's like, you're right, we should. This is, and it's one of the things I love about Shadow Mountain is we are invested in the authors and we're invested in their stories. And that sometimes means if we're going to do what's best for them and best for the story, sometimes that means letting them go to a different stage and work with a different place.
Can I just say too, though, I read Matched before I read any of yours then, and I felt your influence still within. I mean, you can just feel the similar mindset, I guess.
Yeah. And for a number of years, even after she was publishing, had another editor, Allie would still send me things like, I just don't feel right sending something out if you haven't read it yet. And so that was really flattering too.
It's almost like cheating on your husband or going to a different hairdresser.
Yeah. So I'd give her my notes and I'd give her my feedback, and she'd weigh it and adapt it and turn it in. And then her other editor would go through it.
Okay. Well, speaking of editors, because we have such a valuable resource as you as an editor, because there's writers who want to get published. What do you see as the major problems when you see something and it needs improvement? What are the major things that you see, I guess, that things should people should be working on or looking at in their own work?
Right. The main thing that I look for when things come in through the slush pile or when I request manuscripts from people at conferences or things like that, I'm always looking for a reason to fall in love with the book. Mm-hmm. And often I think sometimes authors are afraid to put their heart and soul into those first few pages because they get workshopped to death and they're taught like everything has to happen on the first page and here's the checklist of things that have to happen. And that's true. There's a lot that has to happen in those first few pages. But I also want to see why you care about this story, why this story is important to you. And I want to see what your voice is. That really strong, authentic voice will always pop, will always raise the manuscript out of the slush to say, pay attention to me because this is different, this is unique. And if I could have authors do one thing, that would be what I would want them to do, is really hone and strengthen and amplify your voice so that I have no choice but to pay attention to the story you're telling.
And do you sometimes overlook things that should have been on the first page or the first few pages if that voice is strong enough?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Whenever I read through a manuscript and I come across a problem, my first question I ask myself is, yeah, but is it fixable? Because typos, that's easy. That's fixable. Spell check will fix that. That's no problem. Even some grammar and punctuation stuff. And it's only if those accumulate over time that I start to say, well, yeah, it's fixable, but every single sentence needs to be fixed. Mm-hmm. Or if I start running into, well, this is a point of view problem. Is it fixable? Well, yeah, but
that's going to take a long time.
It's going to take a long time, and that's not my job. It's the author's job, so I better send this back so the author can do their job and write the book. But easy stuff, I've never had a perfect manuscript come in. Oh, yeah. I don't expect it to. I'm expecting to find problems, and I'm evaluating on the spectrum how egregious are those problems. If they're easy, it's easy. Mm-hmm. So don't sweat that small stuff.
Speaking to published authors, like people that you work with, what's one of the hardest things, like with the relationship there? Do you ever have a struggle when you're in the editing process, like kind of going back and forth? Give us some advice as published authors.
My job for published authors is to challenge you to do better, to point out the things that you might have missed, to help you see what's not there, and recognize that I'm probably right 90% of the time, but it's okay for you to challenge me because I might be wrong that last 10%. And a recent example, I hope it's okay I share this, J. Scott Savage, I was working with him on his Mysteries of Cove series, and his very last book, Embers of Destruction, I read through it, and I called him on the ending. I'm like, I don't believe it. Don't love it. You got to change it. And he's like, no, it has to be like this. And I'm like, wrong. No, it doesn't. Totally wrong. You are totally wrong. And we went back and forth. We had lots of phone conversations. We had lots of email things. And I said, you can do better. If you want this ending, you have to earn it. You have to make me believe it. And I don't. Mm-hmm. And so we went back and forth and back and forth. And he stuck to his guns and I stuck to my guns. And he finally turned in something that I said, okay, now I believe it. Mm-hmm. And I'm really pleased that we had a little bit of, I don't want to say it was friction, but we had that real honest conversation about what's best for the book. And we both won at the end of the day.
Because he made the buildup happen.
Because he made the buildup happen, and he did. He strengthened the ending, and I knew he could do it, and I knew he could make it work. But I had to push him to do it. I couldn't say, yeah, this is fine. It's the end of the trilogy. It's got to be good. And one of the things that I've been really pleased is how many reviews have come in or people who've read the book who've said, oh, and that ending was so awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, told ya.
And you both told.
And we both win. Yeah. And so that's what I try to do for the published authors. I'm your champion and I'm your advocate, and I'm also your worst enemy, because I'm going to try to make you push yourself and make your story better.
I hear often from some of the authors, and they really view the editors as like the rival, the enemy, or something, right? I mean, they don't look at it from your point of view. Now, I do. I mean, we're both working together, and we may have some creative difference of opinion, but we're both working to make that book the best book that it can be. And I got to say that you were down at the ANWA conference last year, and I sat in your class, and I was just totally amazed at what a page looked like before you went through it and what it looked like after you went through it. I mean, just really great work.
Thank you.
You've been in the business 20 years, you said. Now, how did you get started? I know that may be going backwards a little bit, but I'm just curious. You know, I know how I got started, but how did you get started?
I always loved to write, and I always loved to read. My mom was a writer, so I grew up around words and books. It was a thing that you did. Mm-hmm. And my mom ended up, when I was in junior high, she was hired as the assistant editor for the Ensign magazine. And so that was the thing, like,
you wrote.
Editors is a job people do. Like, my mom does it. I could do that. And so I grew up wanting to do something with words and wanting to do something with books. And I loved the editing, and I was really good at the copy editing part of it. So after I graduated from college, I started at Deseret Book as a freelance proofreader just for the summer. It's what I wanted to do. I'm like, yay, I get paid for proofreading and reading books. And then in October, my mom said, there's going to be an opening at Bookcraft Publishers, because we're hiring one of their editors away for the Ensign magazine. You should apply for that job. And I'm like, I should apply for that job. And so I did, and I took their proofreading test, and I got the highest score they'd seen on the test. And they're like, we're not giving you the job. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then about 4 or 5 months later, Corey Maxwell called me back. He was president at the time. And he's like, we've created a new position, and we'd like you to come interview for it. It's the editorial assistant position. And we think you'd be really, we'd like to interview for this. And I'm like, okay. So I interviewed. And as we're walking out, Corey's like, he's introducing me around and showing. And he's like, and this will be your office. Uh-huh. I mean, the editorial assistant person's office. And I thought, I think I got the job. And so that's kind of where I started. I knew there was going to be an opening. And so some of it was networking. A lot of it, though, really was I had the talent. I had the skill.
Grammar is your superpower.
I could do it. And that's when it comes down to editing. You have to do it right the first time. Mm-hmm.
So what were your conversations like at the dinner table then? Oh. Don't use that dangling participle. Or, I mean, you know,
mom and I, we joke about that. All we talk about, like, we cut paper clips, organization. We do talk grammar, spelling. My brother and my father were like, yeah, we don't care about that. They talk about something else. But my mom and I are soulmates on this, and so we always talk about finding the dangling participles in the wild and how we would fix
it. Oxford comma, where do you stand?
You must use the Oxford comma.
I agree.
Fight you on this, and I will win. You use it.
Yes.
Well, you are the editor. Of course you're going to
win. I'm the boss. Sorry, that's the way it is.
So how many authors have a problem with like that kind of stuff? Now, I mean, I come to the point, like, you say Oxford comma, like, okay. Yeah. And it has no emotional impact on me. Are there authors like, no, I will not accept the Oxford comma?
No. When it comes to the copy editing part, the grammar, spelling, punctuation, those kind of nuts and bolts of it, very, very rarely do I have an author ever fight me on that, because they can't. The dictionary says it's this way. Mm-hmm. Like Chicago says, it has to be this way.
We want to be able to trust you on that. Because honestly, the vast majority of us don't.
And we don't want to read the Chicago.
Yeah, you know. And you shouldn't have to. I mean, that's not your job. Your job is to write the book. Your job is to develop characters and take me on a journey and invite me into this world that you've done. And
try to have some basic skills.
And you need basic skills. But the truth is, my job is to make sure all of that becomes invisible to the reader.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right, so we're running out of time. Do you have any last words of advice for our audience?
Write the story that you wish you could read. And a lot of that is because I'm an editor as my profession, but I am a reader at heart. And the first thing I always want to find is a book that I can fall in love with as a reader. And your authors are readers too. And so if you write the book that you like to read, that's going to come across. And me as a reader is going to say, this is a book I want to read, and this is a book I want to tell people about. And the person I'm going to tell is the person who can actually buy it and publish it. And that's a short hop from writing it to getting it published.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When I teach workshops for some of the beginning writers, that's what I'll talk about is write what you really love. Don't write for the trend,
the market,
right?
Yeah.
Or because your dad wants you to write westerns or whatever. Mm-hmm. Not that my dad ever said that.
His dad was a John Wayne fan. Just saying.
He's a big Zane Grey fan.
Yeah,
anyway.
All right, so Lisa, we want to thank you for being on the show with
thank
us.
Thank you.
We want to thank everyone for listening. And you can make sure to, we're going to have Lisa on our show, too, on YouTube. So
yeah, watch that.
Go watch Lisa be
at work.
An editor and make all those crucial judgments on some poor, unsuspecting person.
I can hardly wait.
And on So You Think You Can Write. All right, until next week, get ready.
Get set.
Write.